No, I didn't. Oh,
Okay, just okay, good. Great. Hi, this is Rafael Figueroa, and this is Breaking Bread podcast. And I'm a lover of Jesus, and introducing our guest on Breaking Bread podcast is Yadira Walker. Welcome. Go ahead, Yadira, say
Hi,
something.
everybody. Thank you for having me. I am really excited to be here and to share with all of you.
She's a really good friend from the Prophet's Table and Destiny Hub, and we've had quite a few meetings together so far online, and I really felt impressed to start back up more podcasts, and she was one of the guests I definitely want on this. I want this community to experience her testimony, and I want our community to experience her knowledge and wisdom in the Lord. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself, Yadira?
So my name is Yadira. My single name is Torres, Yadira Torres. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. So I'm from the Caribbean. I am married and I have two kids. Yes.
And one of her kids' name is awesome. They're archangel.
Yes,
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Yes, Michael. I wasn't sure if you wanted to share that or not, so I stopped myself because we get careless. I don't
It's
want to get
okay.
too careless. But we have had some powerful meetings online. The Holy Ghost is working, and Yadira has led a few of the Prophet's Table meetings, and Yadira, I have a question. Can you give me the name of the degree that you have?
So, I have a bachelor's degree in social work. I have a master's degree in education and counseling. And then I have an MDiv, which is a master in divinity or on divinity.
How long did it take you for the master's in divinity?
3 years.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. What was your favorite subject?
Well, surprisingly, I love Genesis. When we dive into the Old Testament, Genesis was my favorite book to study. And I actually wrote, so my paper was based on the creation story. And I find that every time that I go back, I learn more.
Right,
It's
me
like,
too.
yes, it's like every time you go back and study a little more, you get more out of the passages.
I like where Adam is being formed from the dust,
Yes.
and you see that same kind of concept throughout the whole entire scripture. People are being taken out of the miry clay. People are being taken from the shepherd's field. People are being taken out of the dungeon. When they were placed there, always God is taking from the dust of the earth and he's blowing life into it. And Adam became a living soul, a living spirit. And I think that's amazing. Genesis is my favorite book that I go through hundreds of times a year.
It's
Hundreds.
actually, I'm sorry, it's
Go ahead.
actually the most read book of the Bible because everybody at the beginning of the year have that goal of reading the Bible cover to cover and then they just stop. It's a commitment.
What is your favorite part about Joseph when Joseph is being introduced in his story? What's your favorite part about
My
that?
favorite part will be when he faced his brothers.
Mine too. Yes. He's weeping. He's weeping, and I think it's like Jesus. Jesus is among people, and it's just like they're the ones who are actually going to betray him and put him up on the cross, his own people, His own people are going to betray him and put him up on the cross. Much worse than Joseph. But I could imagine living with the pain as Joseph for years in a dungeon. The Lord has told me, he has given me a dream, and he said that I would be the head. And what's going on here? The Lord speaks to me many times through Joseph.
Yes.
Tell me, I want to hear your favorite part. I talk a lot. I
No,
talk a
it's
lot.
okay. Me too. Especially when it's our favorite subject, right? We're like, ah. So I think so. The story of Joseph is an incredible story, but I also feel that there's a link. It's really not about Joseph, but about Judah, because God sent Joseph to preserve the line of the Messiah. So I think Joseph is very important because it shows us that we need to have some humility and maturity, right? Like we all get God speak to us and give us dreams and visions and maybe goals and I'm gonna write a book and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And we want to do it right now. But there's a process, right? And through that process, you go through many seasons and many heartaches. And you question, God, did you really talk to me? Did you really told me to write that book? Or did you really told me to do the podcast? Or did you really told me to go to school or whatever, right? Whatever the case may be.
That's the hard one for me right now, school.
Yes. Like, what's going on, God? Did I really heard this correctly? And yes, you did. It's just, it takes time and it's not going to be quick. And I have seen in my life, especially when I was younger, living in Puerto Rico, I have seen God work immediately. So I have seen people that get, you know, safe and on fire for God, and they just take off right away. But that's rare. That's not something that is very common because I think that we all have to be, we're like a diamond, right? A raw diamond that needs to be pressed and shape and polish because we're human. And can you imagine Joseph, with all that hurt and all that pain, being the second in command in Egypt, he could have killed them all. He could say, "No, I don't want anything to do with you. Now it's my time. I'm gonna make you see who's the boss now." Right? But he didn't do that. He wrestled with his heart and his pain, and he, like Jesus in the garden. In Gethsemane, in the garden, when he was praying, please take this away from me. This is not what I want to do. I want to show them. But he finally said, okay, God, I will forgive. I will forgive them and I will love them even though that they didn't love me. So I think that's what is very powerful of that story in the correlation with Jesus. I mean, if you were Jesus, if I was Jesus, I would have been like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna get rid of all of you and I'm gonna start over. Well, like thankfully he didn't do that, right?
Moses said, "Hey, don't do that." He said, "Okay, Moses."
Right.
I think about Joseph, and I think about him forgiving his brothers. There had to be a forgiveness there, and when he forgave his brothers, there was a reconnection with his father.
Yes.
How many times do we lose connection with our father because we want nothing to do with our brothers, and we
Yes.
won't help, or we won't help our poor brother? These guys are poor. That's why they're coming to Joseph. They're in need. They have nothing to benefit Joseph at all. Nothing.
Right.
And Here they come. In the aspects of monetary gains, they're not really bringing anything. And here's Joseph. He's willing to pay a price to see his father again. And how many people are willing to pay the price to be in a relationship with their father? Maybe forgiving the people that they don't want to forgive, or giving w what they want to keep to themselves. I'm not saying Joseph was a hard man, because it seemed to be that he was giving away much and helping Egypt much. But if I was in Joseph's place, I don't know if I could have did what he did. If I was in Jesus's place, I don't know if I could have did, what he did. There's many places in the Bible like that. Many places. What do you think about Abraham taking Isaac and getting the wood, and what do you think
To
about that
sacrifice
scripture?
him. Woof. Woof. That's really hard because I have kids and I'm like, oh God, I don't know that if you ask me to give one of my kids, even though I know that you're God and that you can provide and that you can bring them back to life and all of that. I don't know that I will say, okay. I don't know that I have the faith that he had. But I think that it was very important for him to be obedient because that was a shadow of what God was going to do with Jesus. So it was kind of like, to me, it was like a testing moment for humanity. Are you willing to put on the altar whatever it is that is most important to you in order to have a relationship with me? Right? And it's really hard. Sometimes with little things like money, for example, is a big thing for people to put it down, right? Because it brings some sort of security to have something in the bank, right? But I think that God has called us and is calling us to become the church that we were meant to be. And if you look back and you read the Bible, these people had no plan B. It was God. That
Yeah,
was
it
it.
was God.
And I think that's the difference because I wrestle a lot with this what in the Caribbean when I was growing up in Puerto Rico. The spirit world is very real for Christians and non-Christian. And it's very real and is something that people don't second guess or question, right? We know that there's power in the spirit. And when I came to the States, it was a shock for me to see that people shy away from the spirit of God here. So it's been a transition for me and a wrestling because so I guess we get comfortable with the comfort that we have here in the US because even when we might not be rich, we are okay. We have more than maybe in other countries, right? When you compare yourself with the situation in other countries, we have a lot. And I think that comfort, we put our faith in that. But what is going to happen when all of that is taken away? Because it will at some point, right? The government right now is like setting the stage for what's coming, and we know is coming. But we are not to be afraid because we know that we are on the winning team. And I think that this is the time for the church to shine bright like they used to do when you read it in the Bible. I said, God, why am I not seeing Acts Church? Why is it that this is not happening, God? I don't understand it. And it's because I believe. It is because we have plan B, plan C, D, and we cannot have any of that. Our plan will be plan A, God. It is okay to be prepared, but we cannot put our faith and our security on that. Because What if I have my whole basement full of food and all kinds of things, and then I have to run away? Where am I gonna go? I can't take all of that, right? So I don't know. I feel that God is preparing the church to be the church. And I think that comfort is gonna be pulled from under our feet. That's my view. I don't know.
I think we see a pattern of that in the Bible. People are in comfort, and then they are in comfort so long and they forget their God. And then it's just like, oh, we're in bondage. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I think God gives us grace to get through it. God gives us grace to get through it. Abraham was one of the people that I do see getting into bondage multiple times. He gets comfortable and he gets into bondage. He gets comfortable, then he gets into to bondage. And eventually, and it repeats through Isaac. It r repeats through Jacob. It repeats through, all along the line, throughout the history, until one comes, and that's Jesus. And it takes that one time with Jesus for the church to come out of Egypt, to come out from among them, and to come into a promise. A lot of people are not walking in the promise, and that's why they're walking in bondage. The Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham knew that even the Lord had the power to raise Isaac from the dead. He had the power to raise Isaac from the dead. They found in the tree, in the bush, right? They found life in that tree. There's a story that repeats throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, and you could probably pick up a few things as I'm saying this. And you're probably gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. So in the beginning, you have the tree of life, right? And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And which are you gonna choose, the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Well, Adam and Eve chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Abraham chose a tree of life when he put Isaac on the altar. He found life in a bush, in a tree. You see Moses, he's going to a burning bush, right? And there was fire, there was life, and it was not consuming something, right? There was life there. Many times, Ezekiel, you go to Isaiah, the Psalms talks about trees of righteousness. Jesus is in a garden of Gethsemane, right? And he has the choice to choose between two trees. Not my will, Father, but thine will, a tree of life. He literally laid down his life to have the life of righteousness, and he dies upon a tree. Adam died with a tree. And Jesus died with a tree to break that curse, to make the cross a tree of life instead of a tree of curses. And yes, every man that hangs upon a tree is cursed, or cursed is the man who, yeah, yes, that Bible verse does apply. But I just wanted to know if you see anything else like that in the Bible, from the beginning to the end. Like, do you see correlations like that? I'll give you another example, and I'll give you time to think about that. So in the beginning, in Genesis, you have a marriage. In John chapter 3, you have a marriage. And in the book of Revelations, you have a marriage. Is there anything that you can give us?
So right now I don't want to I'm obsessed a little bit with the story of Leah, the story of Leah, the
Leah,
first wife. So I know that when we read Jacob's story, we get a little bit offended, right? Because he wakes up in the morning, oh, he married the wrong sister. But we kind of like favor Rachel because, you know, she had Joseph and Benjamin, and those stories are very prominent in the Bible, right? And we don't think a lot about Leah. But Leah was the underdog. She was rejected by her family, her sister, even her husband, right? She was not beautiful. It says there that she had sad eyes, were weary eyes, right? Yet God chose her because Leah was the one that had not only Judah, but the Levites too. So she had the priest and the kings in her line.
The ones
And
that the
begging.
builders rejected. I'm
Yes.
loving this. I'm loving this. Go
So
ahead.
right now I'm digging into that because I'm like, whoa. So Leah, check this out. I learned this. It is not my thought. I read it somewhere when I wrote it down here. Tim Keller said that the reason God goes after Leah and not Rachel was because God came for the people and asked the people that represent her. So Jesus came, Isaiah 53, right? Rejected. It said he had no beauty, right? That we will be attracted to him. Right, and he
Yes.
was nobody loved him, even his friends deserted him. So there's a correlation there, right? And he came as Leah represented on her life, right? But he also came for the underdog, for us, the
Yes.
people that the other people reject. So I'm like, whoa, that's very interesting.
Jesus's lineage is literally filled with that. It's
Yes.
filled with people like Rahab.
Yeah.
Rahab, I can imagine Rahab, if she was a woman of the night, and like many people believe. And how it kind of talks about in the scripture. I can imagine her feeling like maybe she wasn't worthy to marry. But yet, one of the top officials of Israel says, "You're going to be my wife." Right? God literally does that with us. We say, "God, we're unworthy." And he says, "I'm going to make you my son. I'm going to make you my daughter. I'm giving you power to become the sons of God." And I think that's the number one thing is to be able to become a son of God or a daughter of God. Because you can become a prophet all day, but if you don't have the relationship of a son, it's not going to profit you. You can be
Right.
an apostle, you can be an evangelist, you can be a pastor, a teacher, or whatever. But if you're not in love with him, with your father, then it's pointless. Just
Yeah.
like Joseph, he had to have his father. When he knew that his father was alive, he had to have his father, and nothing would stop that. And I believe with Leah, that she was eventually really loved because there at first there was no relationship, and what he knew was Rachel. What the familiarity was Rachel, and what God wanted him to have was Leah.
Yep.
And a lot of people are familiar with the world, but God wants them to be familiar with him, the bride of
Yes.
Christ.
That could apply as well in ministry. Like for us, we have this idea of ministry, right? And success in ministry that might be the big churches and the lights and the smokes and this and that, right? And the numbers. That's very, very attractive. And there are people who have the natural talent to attract people and to be great speakers, and they can motivate people. People are attracted to them, but that doesn't mean that God
That
is
they're a
behind
lead.
it, right? And
Yeah.
maybe that doesn't mean that that's what God wants for you. Maybe our ministry is, in my case, I went to Bible school because I wanted to learn how to study the Bible. I felt that the church was not giving me that, so I pay to learn how to do it. But my ministry is my home, is my kids, is my husband. That's my ministry. And if in the way, like today after work, this random lady came over and she was like, "Can you help me? I need to jump my car." And the first thing pop in my head was like, "Oh, this is a trap. There's somebody around here that's trying to kidnap me or something." And then the second thought was, "Wait a minute. She needs help, and you're a Christian. What would Jesus do? Jesus will help her." And I said, "Okay." And I texted my husband and I said, "Hey, I'm doing this." And he was like, "Okay." So I did it. She was able to turn on her car and she left, and I came home. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe that was ministry at that moment, because here we are, two women completely alone in a parking lot. Who knows, right? What could have happened to her if I said, no, I don't think so. I can't expose losing my vehicle or anything like that, right? So that was ministry in my mind.
I think people miss the ministry aspect of daily life. In the Bible, it talks about a man who by chance came upon a Samaritan or somebody in the ditch, right? And the Good Samaritan took that man to the inn and he said, "Take care of him, pour the oil and pour the wine in. Let's get some oil, let's get some wine, let's bandage up these wounds, and I'm going to pay two pence, and when I return, I will pay more if needed." And people forget about the daily things in life when people are in a ditch. That woman was in a ditch.
Yes.
We need people who will dig people out of ditches.
Yes.
A lot of people want Elijah Ministries, right? But they don't want to dig the ditch around the altar. They don't want to dig the ditch. A lot of people want ministries like Elisha, but they don't want to tell people other people to even dig ditches, to let the rain come and drown the enemy in a moment. It says we got 10. Well, it's about over. We'll have to do a part two, Yadira.
Yes.
I do apologize. Give me 1 second and I will send you another link. I'm gonna go ahead and stop this and we will continue with part two on Breaking Bread Podcasts. God bless.